Good morning, and welcome to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Vicki Logan, and I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. We want to extend a very special welcome to our guest. We're so glad you're here, and we ask that everyone, members and visitors alike, sign the friendship pads, which are at the end of the pews, so that we'll have an accurate record of attendance this morning. And we have a few announcements. Our faith family gatherings have begun. That's Bible study and meal on Wednesday nights, which is wonderful. And if you'd like to be a part of that, there's an insert in your bulletin. Please complete that and drop it in the offering plate, or you may call the church office by noon on Monday if you want to get fed. Also, I see that many of you are wearing your ribbons. That indicates our support for Suicide Awareness Month, which is September. We are all encouraged to keep this on our hearts. If you know someone who is struggling, please reach out and assist them to get the help that they need. You may be their last hope. Also, our stewardship packets are available, which you can't miss because they're here and in the WAC. Pick yours up. And the way that this works, I want to explain this because we have so many wonderful new people here joining our faith family. You may either turn in your covenant cards to the church office in your packet, or you can wait until October 3rd, which is consecration service. During that service, all three of our regular services, we will all have an opportunity to come forward and put our covenant cards on the altar. If you've not been here for one of those services, I would highly recommend it. It is a very beautiful experience. Also, I would direct your attention to the back page of your bulletin, where it gives you a synopsis of all the wonderful things going on in the life of the church, including Hog on the Hill. And again, for new folks, if you've not been to Hog on the Hill, you will absolutely want to mark October 15th on your calendar. Fun, food, fellowship, and furry things. And I will tell you that Greek Fest has nothing on the Methodist. You will want to be here on October 15th. And now I invite you all to stand, greet one another, and pass the peace of Christ. Would you stand now for our hymn of praise, which is God of Grace, God of Glory. It's number 577 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
please remain standing and join me in the Apostles' Creed. It is printed in your bulletin or is number 881 in the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
He brings How are we? Ooh, here we are. We're awake. How are we this morning? Good. I'm so glad. Okay, I want to play a game with you. You ready? I'm going to say something, and I want to see if you can match what goes with it. Does that make sense? So if I say Mac, you would say Mac in cheese. Got it? Okay, you ready? Here we go. Peanut butter and hammer and good job. Good job, girl. Let's see. Here we go. Let me think. I have my list over here. How about, salt and pepper. Ketchup and mustard. Y'all are so smart. Okay, well, the reason why I did that was because, you know, there are things that go hand in hand, right? Okay? And so I have a question. Let's say that you were doing something and you, let's say, because we all know that we're supposed to treat others correctly, right? But what if we say, oh, you know what? I went to church yesterday. Everything was good. And I do everything right. But then you turn around and you say something not nice about your friend. Does that go hand in hand? No. What if you say that I love Jesus and I have Jesus in my heart, but then you turn around and you lie to your parents? Does that go hand in hand? So there's a lot of things, but you know what? That shows us that we need to do what's right. We say that we are Christians. We say that we love Jesus. We come to church every week, we read the Bible, and we pray. But then there's times that we walk out this door, and we're not very nice, are we? And so we need to go hand in hand. So I want you to think about that. We're in school. I know I said the S word. I'm sorry. We're in school. We have friends on the playground. There's times that we're not very nice. So we need to think about those things that go hand in hand, you know? That we need to be nice with one another, okay, and say nice things. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the weather, the beautiful weather that you have given us. Help it to remind us that things go hand in hand, that, you know, our actions and our words needs to match how we feel about you and you with you in our hearts. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
If you will please note in your bulletin, there are 8 names of people who are specifically in need of prayer. We know, of course, that there are many more who are not listed. Please remember these people as you go through your prayer time during the week and lift them up. And now will you join me as we go to the Father in prayer? Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we come together this morning to praise your holy name, to worship you in spirit, and to hear and study your word. Even in the hustle and bustle of daily life, nothing else should take a higher place in our lives than these things, as we keep you on our hearts in constant prayer. Help us to seek you, and Lord, when we do, we know that we'll find you. This morning, we specifically want to lift up the people in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, and all the states that have been affected by the terrible storms. Give them comfort and peace, and use your people as instruments of your love to touch lives. Father, we also lift up this church to you, your church. During this time of year, we humbly ask that you give us the guidance as we seek your wisdom in stewardship efforts, offering our prayers, our presence, and our participation through gifts and graces to further this beacon that we call Asbury, to bring you honor and glory. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I want to point out to you that there is UMCOR contact information printed in the center of the bulletin for those of you who've been led to contribute directly to the hurricane relief efforts. And now let us bless our morning offering. Loving Father, as we gather together this morning, we follow your word and bring a portion of what you've blessed us with into the storehouse. We humbly ask that you bless these tithes and offerings so they will multiply and supply the needs of not only this church, but also the needs of the missions that touch lives here and around the world. Amen. Our hymn of meditation this morning is number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you. Please be seated. It is a great day this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'll be reading out of the NIV version. Be reading out of James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 18. And I pray as these words are read aloud that they will find a place inside your heart, that you'll dwell upon them, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to you through them. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Well, Pastor Mary and I have been preaching through a series on our covenant relationship with God. And if you're looking for her this morning and she's not to be found anywhere, she is hiding in plain sight. Good morning. First, we spoke about our covenant with God in prayer and how communication with God is so vitally important. Last week, we spoke about our covenant with God in presence, and how God is not only present with us, but how we can be present with each other. This morning, we finish up this three-part series on our covenant relationship with God in participation. We hope that you've been blessed by this series. Well, what is meant by our covenant with God in participation? Does participation mean that we have to get involved? Do we just want to suit up, or do we really want to get in the game? How do we contribute if we are put in the game? Well, when I was in high school, I played several sports, but basketball was one of my favorites because I was part of a team. Some of you know that my father was in the military, which meant we traveled around a lot. And his last duty station was in Fort Hood, Texas, right in the center of Texas. And I was in junior high there before he retired and we moved to Greenwood, Arkansas. Well, I had a basketball, but we couldn't put up a goal on post housing because it wasn't allowed, or we couldn't put a goal on a pole in the backyard. I had a basketball, and I spent hour after hour after hour dribbling back and forth across the driveway, around the parked cars in the carport, around the trash cans, and around imaginary defenders. I could handle that basketball with expertise by the time we moved to Greenwood and I got into high school. Matter of fact, my junior year in high school, the picture of the basketball team, the individual pictures, I was standing in front of the camera in classic Pete Maravich style, spinning the basketball on my finger and smiling real big. What I couldn't do was shoot a basketball to save my life. I had developed a gift for handling the basketball and a quickness for moving around obstacles, real or imaginary, which made me a perfect point guard, a position for starting plays called by the coach. But I couldn't make a basket if it meant winning the world championship. What my driveway practice also prepared me to be was the perfect defensive position for the opposing team's point guard. Now, sometimes I started the game if coach needed somebody on that opposing team's point guard and they were the most important person on that team. If not, I sat on the bench until Coach Hargis needed a defensive stop and he would put me in the game. Coach knew the gifts of each player on his team. God is no less knowledgeable of the gifts of his team, and he will use those gifts to accomplish his goals. And what game is it we're talking about this morning? Well, I guess I can sum it up in just a few words. This is the Christian's game of life. Pastor Mary mentioned it last week. When we become United Methodist, we enter into a covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of this church. Last week, when Nicole Hertia joined our church by affirmation of faith, she entered into a covenant with this body to participate in its ministries by her prayers, her presence, her gifts, her service, and her witness. The end result of all of this is, quote, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. A quote from our book of worship. Well, I'd like to talk about three things this morning: service, gifts, and faith. Now, if Nicole was here this morning, I would probably embarrass her by pointing out that she has a beautiful singing voice. Part of her service to the church is obviously singing in the choir. A gift of praise. Can all of us sing in the choir? Diana says yes. Well, some of us can and some of us just refuse. But there are other kinds of service in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 5 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. We all have different gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. I went out and I counted those gifts from the Spirit, and the short list numbered 31. And those are just the ones mentioned in the New Testament. Did you know that gifts, spiritual gifts, are even mentioned in the Old Testament? Exodus 35:30 says, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the divine spirit, with skill, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft. Now, I've seen some men and women with an ability to craft and construct things that just astound me. And some of you are in this church. Just wait to Hog on the Hill and you see some of the wreaths that have been put together down there. They are outstanding. Do you know what gifts the Spirit has given you? Well, the gifts I have received, this probably is not surprising, is the gift of teaching and the gift of administration. And I hope that I bring glory to God by using them. If you don't know, find out what gifts you've received. If you know, then I ask you, are you using those gifts to their fullest? Ephesians 6:7 says that we should serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. When you talk about service and gifts, it's really hard to separate the two, isn't it? As one is about furthering the kingdom of God and bringing glory to Him, while the other is the gift given to us that we use to bring Him the most glory. Hard. While one can stand without the other, the two are best used together. Well, let's just talk for a few moments about faith. What is faith? Has anyone ever attended one of those group formation seminars? At some point, you're going to be standing on a table with your arms crossed and falling back into the group, hoping that they are going to catch you. Well, let me first explain. There is a significant difference between faith and trust. I had the trust I was going to fall backward off of that table, and the faith that if they dropped me on the floor, it was going to hurt. This wasn't something I felt. It was something I was assured of. It was a head knowledge. The faith I want to spend a few minutes on this morning is the faith described in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." If someone says they know Christ, how can we really be sure that they do? Does their actions and behavior show a head knowledge of Christ or a heart knowledge? The verse following our scripture reading this morning, verse 19, says, "Do you know that there is one God? Good. But even the demons know this." This is the difference in head knowledge and heart knowledge. Action is the evidence of which knowledge people have. Demons have knowledge and are obviously not behaving to bring glory to God. C.S. Lewis is quoted saying this, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." There is no in-between, friends. Either you have a head knowledge or a spirit knowledge of Christ. Here's the bottom line. You cannot have faith and not have works if Christianity is infinitely important. You can't have service without witness, and you can't have witness without service if Christianity is infinitely important. You can't have gifts given to you and not give back if Christianity is infinitely important. I spoke a moment ago about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we are given. What about the gifts that God has given us? Well, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, as described in Acts 1:4. He's also given us the gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of His Son, found in Romans 6:23. We all know this by heart, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Basically, no matter how hard we try, we cannot outgive these gifts, and we can't outgive God. But I ask you, are we being blessed as much as we desire or as much as we deserve? In Malachi, God tells us how much that we should give back to Him, and I don't think He just means in finances. What He also says, and this is found nowhere else in His Word, "Put me to the test." This is the only place where God gives us the promise of blessings if we only follow His challenge. It's just that simple. If we bring in the tithe to the storehouse, His church, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us so great we won't be able to hold it. God will open those windows upon Asbury and upon each family and household represented here. How great would that be? Just imagine that for a moment. I tell you, God has never let me down. In the late 1980s, I was living in a little 910-square-foot house over in L.A., and for those of you not from around here, that's called Levy area, just across the river, in North Little Rock with my wife and my two very young daughters. I had a job that was bringing in about $1,000 a month. My wife was working and not bringing in very much more. My car broke down, and my lawnmower got stolen all in 1 week. If I didn't get the car fixed, I couldn't get to work. If I didn't mow the grass, I'd get a fine from the city. Well, we prayed, and we felt we couldn't do anything other than to give our tithe as we had promised to God and trust that He was going to take care of us. Here's how He did. before the week was out, I had not one, but three lawnmowers sitting in my yard, a weed eater, and, guys, listen to this, a fully restored emerald metal flake green 1957 Chevy pickup.
Ooh.
We were blessed beyond our wildest dreams because we followed God's challenge and He fulfilled His promise. Well, I want to offer you this challenge. Test God for 1 month. 1 month. And on your knees, tell God that you are trusting in Him and trusting in His Word. And then be prepared to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. God has given us eternal life, and He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are no greater gifts than we can receive but these. He will not leave us high and dry in any aspect of our life if we give Him the glory and praise for all He has done and is doing for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised. And if you would like to join this church by appropriate means, we invite you to come forward, or if you'd like to come forward and just pray, our prayer rails are always open as we stand and sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised. It has been so good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Look around, because we do have several visitors that are here today. Welcome them and show them the Asbury love that I know that I experienced my first time here when Cindy and I came. Just one other thing We've finished up the series this morning on prayer, presence, and participation. One of the things that you're going to find in your stewardship packet this morning is something that I mentioned a few weeks ago in our on our covenant with God in prayer. You're going to find a Asbury prayer covenant card. This has a picture of each one of the staff members and three areas that each staff member would like for you, the Asbury family, to pray for that ministry area. I invite you to keep that inside your Bible, and as you read daily, pull that out and pray over this card in those areas. Receive this blessing. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for praise. I thank you for worship, and I thank you for your word. Father, help us to trust you more. Help us to trust you completely as you fulfill your word to us and the promises that you give us. Go with us this week. Bless us beyond our wildest dreams. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.